Yeah. When I got done with that thing, I couldn't even walk. My legs were just like spaghetti. It took me 3 days. Well, something happened through the night. It was getting better, and I can walk now. But Ron Plott, a humbling experience. He rode with me some, and he had to get my, when I could get in the car, my right leg, and he had to pick my leg up, my foot, and put it in, my left leg, and put it in. But anyway, I'm in good shape, but I wasn't in good shape a couple of days ago. Be careful. It said 55. And I think it said RPMs, and Ben said, was you going round and round? Oh, I was going round and round and upside down. But I don't know what, I guess it's 55 miles an hour is all I could figure. I didn't know I could run that fast. Be careful. I think I was going to sue that motel. They should have given a warning. Right? They did. I want you to open your Bibles here to Philippians chapter 2. And then 2 Timothy chapter 4. Philippians chapter 2. And then 2 Timothy chapter 4. Take you just a minute to get there. Let me find my place. I've got some other scriptures I'm going to read you, but you can check them out when you get home. And we'll go from them Old Testament scriptures to Philippians, and then we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And you should find it. If I can be seated, you can be seated. Amen. You can check me on these scriptures after church. We don't try to find them right now, but in verse 13, scripture here, let me look at this again. Okay, let me go to Leviticus. I'll check that one later in Exodus. Oh, I know why I'm looking at them backwards. It's Exodus 29. In verse number 40. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour mingled, with the fourth part of an hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering. That's the word, for a drink offering. Verse 41, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at even, and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning. According to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. We're interested in the word for a drink offering of wine for a drink offering. I'm gonna read Leviticus 2. Leviticus 23. Listen very carefully. Leviticus 23. Verse 18, you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 bullock and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. Their drink offerings. And I believe I got one more verse in 37. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering
and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offering, everything upon his day. Now, Father, help us for a little while, and I pray we'll be very attentive. Bless these little children, so precious, be with them. May we hear the word of God, and I pray you'll speak to us in a most holy way and save those folks that may be unsaved wherever they're listening today. Be exalted, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, in Philippians chapter number 2, here it is, Philippians chapter 2, and in verse 17, Paul says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Now, a few weeks ago, I started preaching on cheer, having cheer and joy. You got it now? You have it from time to time? But what about when you're about to be martyred? What about when you're about to die? How are you going to die? None of us know. We might not have a chance to even think about nothing but just fall dead. That's basically what my cousin did. Her little grandson found her in the bathroom on the floor and went and got his daddy. They put a respirator on her and UAB. I saw her, tried to talk to her, moving her arm without consciousness in her right arm and her right leg, and the other part was limp. And I don't know if she could hear me or not. She professed Christ before. Her and Martha were good friends, and now she's in eternity. We don't know how we're going to end up. My desire is that I will not be blaspheming God when I'm dying and be drugged up to where I'm saying things that are through demons. But I'll be praising God and say, I'll be ready to be offered for your service and your faith, offered up to Him. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. We've been preaching on Paul's, the one that's following him, Timothy. He's encouraging him to preach the word. We preached 2 or 3 messages on preaching the word of God. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, tell us something new. Tell us something that's dramatic. Tell us something that's interesting, that's funny, that's profound. And Paul said, just preach the word. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. And that's what's happening now. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist. There's my verse where Paul says that a pastor and a preacher should also do the work of an evangelist. And that's what we're involved in with hands-on missionary evangelism. Make full proof of thy ministry. And one, not changing the word of God, but just making a statement, not only make full proof of thy ministry, but make foolproof. For I am not ready, for I am now ready to be offered. There's our word. I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Those two phrases in that verse. For I've fought a good fight. Now, I always wondered about that. Is Roger Butler, or you can ask yourself, have you fought a good fight and been faithful and all of that, and not been a coward and not be a traitor? Have you fought a good fight? And I look at this a little differently right now, and I say the fight that we're fighting is a good fight. Whether we've been faithful or whether we've been courageous or whether we've been cowards or whether we've been traitors, it's a good fight that the Christian is fighting and should be fighting. It's worth, there's some things not worth fighting for. Just forget it. If you always want to be right, you'll never be happy. In other words, in an argument, some things to me, I've come to the conclusion that we'd get at it about things. And he tries to get me now, and it just bounces off. He's got to find somebody else to argue with, because I'm not arguing. Okay. Anyway, that's sort of an inside joke there. But I'm going to tell you what. Some things you ain't need to be worried about. If you realize I'm going to lose, I've lost a lot of battles. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to lose the war. I know how it's going to end up. And some things are just not worth getting ill and upset over. Just if they want to be wrong, let them be wrong. But you don't really have to tell them that. Just let them think you're wrong. Because you're not, it's just going to make them mad. Now, okay, all right, Father, good. It's worth fighting for. I've finished my course. You know, that's like a race. That's like a job responsibility. I've kept the faith. Here's the prize. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to the only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We'll probably have another message to finish up this chapter. I told you to be reading on it. But here, I want you to understand we need to be ready to be poured out for God. We need to be ready now and then, and when it's a time of our leaving this place, we should be ready to leave this world joyfully. And Paul was not, he was not dismayed. He was not in the idea of a compassionate, sympathizing pity party saying, I'm about to die. He said, this is what I've been waiting for. And I'm ready. So many things to leave behind that you'll never have to worry about anymore. Praise God for that. I mean, praise the Lord. Now, I want to talk about just for a minute. I may not be long at all because I am not going to tie two messages together. I'm zeroing in. For I am now ready, verse 6, to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Listen very carefully. Help us, dear Lord. The time of my departure is at hand. Now, here it is. I like to study words. I like to study the etymology of words in different languages. And in the English, most seriously. This can be used as a nautical word of a ship. It's time. I was asking a while back, I asked some people, Brother Durling, James Durling, who's a good Christian man, was in the Navy, retired out there. I said, did they use chains to tie those ships or ropes? He said, they still use ropes. And the idea is a ship that is tied to the dock. And there's a rope. I'll say something else about the rope in the other message. But there's that rope, and it's tied that ship. And that ship is, you know, tide comes in, tide comes out. And if that ship could talk, it would say, I want loose. I want to be loose. I'm looking for the day when I'll be set free. Hallelujah. Hey, you're young, foot loose, fancy free. But if you live long enough, you're going to say, I'm ready to be let loose from this world. Holy God. And so what happened? If you know, there's something pulling us upward. If you're saved by the grace of God, there's something that is pulling you from the sinful gravity of this world. I'm talking about the sinful. Pulling you is pulling you that way. One day, Brother C.L. Roach told me when he had that heart attack and they thought he was going to die, he went to the doctor. They laid him on a table and they said, do not move. And they had to do heart surgery on him. And he was unconscious. Whatever you want to say, yay or nay about this, he told me that when he was laying there, body lifeless, but his soul was very much alive. And his spirit. And it was like he was gliding on a sea of glass. The sea was so calm. And it was like a sea of glass. And, you know, water that was like glass, just solid. No waves. And he was just gliding along in some kind of boat. And he saw the most beautiful sight ahead. You say he's dreaming. Well, I guess he was. I don't know. Whatever you want to call it. You think I'm going to tell Brother C.L. Roach he didn't know what he was talking about? One day that's going to have, something's going to happen to us when we're set free. You know where Paul was? He's in a maritime prison. It was like a hole in the ground. And there he was. And my friends, he was looking forward to the time when he would be cut loose from pain. He suffered a oriental type disease. History says he was a short man and sort of humped back like the hunchback of Notre Dame. He had a terrible eye problem and his eyes would just run with pus. That's why he had a secretary write the books, except for one. And he said, "You see how large a letter I have wrote." And it doesn't mean a long letter. It means the letters are big. I remember seeing Dr. Don Green preach, and he had real bad eye problems. And he'd get right down and with glasses on him. Paul was also in the climates that he was in. They had to be of good air. And some of the tropical climates he was in those islands, they had to turn away from directions they were going to go up in the high country where he could breathe. One day, friends, you're going to be cut off from all that ails you, from every pain of the physical body. You're going to be cut loose from this body. And something calls the holy hills of heaven call me to mansions bright across the sea, where loved ones wait and crowns are given, and the hills of home keep calling me. This body of bones, how's it go? Won't hold my soul any longer. I'll fly away. So the song just came to my mind, partially came to my mind. No more pain. I'll teach something else. No more prison. He spent a lot of time in jail. He wrote a lot of his writings from a jail cell, the prison epistle. There's several of them. This one was wrote while he was in prison. What would you write when you was in prison? A letter to your lawyer saying, "I'll pay you anything. You have my farm, you have my car, just get me out of here." Paul used that time to write the Word of God. Free from the prison of the body, the pain of the body. I'll tell you something else. He's going to be free from people. If the Lord lets me preach next week, Jerry might be preaching, I don't know, or Robert or somebody, but the next time I preach, if the Lord permits me, I'm going to preach about people that bug you. You don't have anybody that bugs you, do you? Nobody, your wife, your husband, workers, you're going to be free from people that bug you. There's people that push my button sometimes. I have to be real careful. I say, "Well, let me tell you what I think about you." I don't want to do that. I lose my testimony. They could know my thoughts. They might just say, you're not a preacher. So, cut loose some people. But cut loose from a person, and that's you. The devil, he'll never, the devil will never bother you anymore. When it's time for you to depart, I'm of my departure's at hand. And I'll tell you something else. You will never bother you no more. Your person, I'm tired of me. I'm tired of the way I think sometimes. I'm tired of temptation. I'm tired of the flesh. One day, I'm going to be free from me. Hey, that's the big one. Forget everybody else. Free from me. What will it be when I'm free from me? Well, you see the idea of a ship that's cut loose, untied. You know, it could be a swift movement of the ocean that just pushes you out like that. And you're gone, like my cousin Mary. Or it could be that you're on a respirator. My brother was on one two different times longer than he should have been, and it will destroy your esophagus. If you stay on too long, he can talk, but he's still got problems. You may be laying there, young or old. There's people that are every age in this building, and listen to me. There's people that are laying in a hospital, lifeless, but their soul is so much alive. Maybe quicker. Eddie fell dead. A charcoal pit in the middle of the night, Mama found him dead. A man that every time he moved, hurt him from the head with arthritis, and he worked till the day he died. Could be quickly, or it could be slowly. But the question that I have for us is, how will we face it? Five times, your faith is serving. So there we finished the idea about this today. But he said, secondly, I'm ready to be offered. He said that first, but I saved that for last. For I am now ready to be offered. We just read to you about that they would actually take the sacrifice on a hot, this is symbolic of y'all thought I was cooking y'all some dinner, but I'm sorry to disappoint you. You wouldn't want to eat anything that I'm cooking. You would not, amen? I took you camping when you was a little boy. Who else was with me? Nobody. Derek, you remember us, Bud, and all y'all, brown boys? We got there in Temple. Get here, y'all. I tried to sleep. They played on me all night. They run over me when I played on the ground sleeping. And now he tells me he wouldn't eat my food. Not hungry enough, you would. If I got hungry enough, I would. They would take that. There's the altar. There's a brazen altar. And it is so hot. Have you ever seen those cook that the fire is so hot they just speak? Have to do and get away from it. That's the way the brazen altar. A burnt sacrifice. And what they would do was that they would offer that wine on that burnt sacrifice and that heated hot altar. Now, it was
suffered the word oblation of Jesus several times. You've read your Bible in the New Testament. You can see that word in the chapter where that oblation means to draw near. That's what it means. It means to draw near, in the Hebrew language, to draw near to the altar. Well, I hope you've done that before. I mean, it'll burn the skin out of you, won't it? I mean, it's hot. It's a place where you don't want to go. But I want you to understand that offering, that altar is where you've got to be if you go to heaven. You've got to go to the altar of God to sacrifice the people. You've got to experience that in your own village. You've got to do it on your own. Not no fun to the flesh. To be burnt public. Hear the offering. Think about it. What? Thank you. I remember when I got saved right back there, right about where Philip said, I didn't think nothing about nobody thinking nothing about me other than me and God, and I wanted to be saved. It wasn't even on my mind. Oh, 10 years old, I was dying on the inside. But yeah, I got it right there. When I went back to Aunt Lucille, that was Mary's mother right down here at the old Jones Chapel Church. She lived there. I went in. Mavis Reeves took me home in a Scooty Baker. She took me home from church because I walked across those woods to get to this church. She took me home. I walked in. She took me to Aunt Lucille's house. And I went to her house and went in. You know, we don't knock. You don't knock in your aunt. I walked in. There's Aunt Lucille. I said, guess what, Aunt Lucille? She said, you got saved. I don't even know how in the world she ever knew I was at church. You couldn't have got a phone call through because it was party lines. If somebody got a phone call through, the whole community knew about it. You got saved. How did you know? You know what she said? I can see it. That's her witness. I hope there's been times when you couldn't see it in me. I guarantee there's been times. Draw near to the altar. Oblation means to be brought near, to approach and draw near. And the Hebrew understanding of it was to draw near to the altar. Get back to this idea, my friends. Paul said in Philippians 2, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. He said, that's my life. That's what I want. I want to be offered on the sacrifice, the praise and the sacrifice and service of your faith. That's why he said, I fought a good fight. I fought something worth dying for. At the end of your life, when your life is over, are you going to look back and say the things I fought for ain't been worth dying for? My. You got to die the first time. I'm not dying for somebody to get you to heaven. That love. Now, a little bit further. There's something about this. I want you to just picture that off. You see, when the sacrifice is there and it's hot, the fire's hot, the feet are hot. Rejected, tormented, suffered. He's the sacrifice. There's something about when that meat was hot and the fire was hot and the wine was poured on it. What happened?
was that liquid was absorbed into that offering, that meat offering, that lamb or whatever it was. And when it was poured on that, it was absorbed by that meat offering. And the result was a vapor. It came up. What did James say? James says, for what is your life? What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then it vanishes away. Think you're going to live forever? You're a fool to think that. Talking to some of those preachers last week, we were talking, sitting around talking. I said, people have this phrase, and they ask somebody, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm killing time. You're not killing time. Time's killing you. You ain't going to stop time, but time's going to stop you. Time is not on your side. No. So what happened? When that went off, on that fire, and on that meat sacrifice, Bible talks about it in the end. We don't need to do that. We're in Him. We're in Him. We were in Him before the foundation of the world. He knew you. He formed you in your mother's belly. He knows your members. He knows your name. He knows how much you're going to weigh and how long you're going to be. He knows what kind of life you were going to live. And He knew that you were going to be His child one day. So there it is. Now, a little further. You know, in Revelation, let me just read the verse. Just stay in. Please, if you can, just allow me. Just reading from Revelation chapter 20. I saw a throne, and they sit upon them. Judgment was given to them. Now listen, and I saw the souls of them that were converted, or the witnesses who worshiped, which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Yeah, I'm also going to read and see. He said he saw the soul. He didn't say bodies. He said he saw the soul. He saw the souls in Revelation chapter number 6. I'll read another reference that has to do with the souls. Revelation chapter 6, and we'll read in verse number 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, under the Lord, the living and the dead. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the soul. I saw the souls. Bodies were? The body had just turned to the dust. We saw the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. I'd say they fought a good fight, wouldn't you? They not only fought a fight that was worth fighting for, they died in battle. And they cried about, how long, O Lord, is holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given to every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season. Until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should kill and think were should be fulfilled. Hey, you saw the souls? The souls said something? How long? And white robes were given them. You know what tells me that a soul is visible? You and I can't see it with the natural eye, but our souls are visible. You guys works in the hospitals. I've been around a lot of dying. And I've been in there where they say they've had to call the family down for talking about who was going to get the car and who was going to get the land. And the nurses said, listen, they can hear you. You need to get out of here. I was very careful to try to hope that my cousin Mary could hear me talking and praying with her. And the nurses tell me, they say, we can tell when the soul leaves the body. What they told me. Sensitive, right? You think they're dreaming? I don't know. They're around death all the time. Maybe they can't. When they tell when the soul leaves the body, and they got purpose. That's so. You got me, friends. There's something here that you can't see and I can't see and the naked eye can't see. And it says, the Bible talks about seeing the invisible. Oh, one of these days, we're going to see the invisible God. Praise the Lord for that. Now, quickly. I'm now ready to be off. I was asked to preach over in Leesburg several years ago when I was had left Grace Baptist Church. I was asked to preach over there, and they let me preach. I didn't know. I just went and preached. I think it was a bad. I guess it's a Baptist church, but you know what they thought? You know what they taught? Because after church, you know, there were two places that I preached in between times coming here. Two churches at three that you know thought they might want me to be their pastor. Didn't deal with it. You know, one church over in Sand Valley and. Singleton's over there. It's got the nurseries at their church. They, you know, they actually came first. I was driving a 1966 Cadillac. I give $1,100 for it from a man named Cecil Simmons, who took Gadsden Baptist Temple to the cleaners in the war times. He owned the parking lot, and when he left, they had to buy the parking lot where they could get across the property to get into their church. Anyway, he's a good preacher, though. He could preach good. Y'all remember him. Yep, y'all heard it. Hey, you know over there right now at that church, you know what the man's name is? A black man that's preached at that church. You know what his name is? Simmons. He was raised in South Alabama, the same place that Cecil Simmons was raised. There's connections there. And he wants to talk to me more about that. And I will, because he feeds free lunch every day over there. I went in, is this okay if I just carry on a little bit? So down at the, what is it in Atala, in Alabama City, anybody ever ate there? They feed every day. I went in trying to track my brother down. You have to sign in. And I saw Miss Deck. She was working. I said, hey, Roger, what you doing here? I said, I'm homeless. I'm coming to eat. So anyway, you have to sign in. I want my name on this register that I've been eating here, and I put Randy Butler's name on there, my brother. Cecil Simmons, he was some kind of preacher. He had the house full. I've seen pictures on the back in the, you know, they got this microfilm at the libraries that they used to. Now it's on computers, I know, I'm sure. But I seen the building there when there was people looking in the windows. Sailors were there. Army men were there from down there. Camp Seibert, it was packed out. And he sold me that car. And listen, there was Bondo places that I determined it was in the back fins of that car. It looked like a Batmobile. And it was a good car. My wife loved it, loved it, loved it. And I traded it on. I wish I'd have kept it. But they shot at him in Ohio for preaching against the liquor, trying to get the liquor out. And they shot at him with a machine gun and filled the back of that car up with holes. Some kind of preacher, but he had a little problem about owning parking lots. But anyway, he preached this. He publicized. He said, I'm going to preach on what I found out about the mayor's wife. He packed out the building, and guess who was there? The mayor. and he preached on Lot's wife. Lot was a politician in Sodom. I don't know why the mayor wanted to show up if he wasn't guilty of something, but I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, this offering, I am now ready to be offered. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while, time, and it vanishes away. Something brought near is the oblation. You have to come with your life, and you have to give your life and commit your life to the one that gave his life for you. Have you done that? Have you? You need to think that over, friend, real careful. When you die, I'm not for cremation. People get cremated all the time. I believe it's not a Christian thing to do. You say, I hadn't got the money. Well, tell David. Right? I'm not. It's a pagan practice. And I told Kathy, and I mean this. I'm gonna beat the system on the funerals. I said, dig the hole. We're gonna be buried right next to my mom and daddy if the Lord don't come back. I hated to buy a plot over there because it's gonna be wasted money because I believe the rapture is gonna take place. I said, just dig a hole. If you want to put me in a sheet, get them ropes, wrap them around, let me down, put the dirt on, go home, forgive me. That'll make him feel, that'll make old Josh mad down there. No, it won't. He'll understand. As a matter of fact, they don't even have to bury me. Don't even have to embalm me. That's a waste of money. Bury me the same day, like they do in Mexico. Bury them the same day. Beat the system. Hey, my life insurance policy, it's a term policy. You maybe disagree with that, but mine cancels at age 79. I got to die before 79. My wife thinks I got to die before 79. It ain't going to happen. Maybe 120. I don't care. It's been useless money. No, it hadn't. Because it's money, if I do die before then, that'll help her go on her honeymoon with her new husband. Well, you say they get the fire hot. And they get the wine. And here it goes. I don't know if you can see. Can you guys see that? Can y'all see that? I practiced it last night. And I hope it works. You see what's happening? There's a sacrifice. There's the altar. This is us. See that? If you're not careful, you won't see it. Because so quickly, when you die, that's going to happen if you know the Lord. Now listen. If our soul could be seen right now, some of us, about all of you, is reaching up, being with the... by the rapture, going by death. Well, our soul, that's it, vapor. What's a vapor? That's a vapor, right? Is that not a vapor? There it is, Terry. There it is, Terry. There it is, Terry. There it is, Terry. What is that book, song, or soap opera says, this is your life. You know what that does to Roger Butler? The sacrifice is still there. This is how important is Roger Butler. That's how important I am. The Bible says the man shouldn't think any highly of himself than he should. Why? Just a vapor. Paul said, I'm offered on the sacrifice of your faith. Now joy in that. Paul said, I'm ready. I'm ready now to make the ultimate sacrifice. I'm leaving. See that? There's a cemetery up in Galesville, and you know what the name of that cemetery is? It's NEEDMORE, Need More. The Bible talks about in Proverbs that the grave is never satisfied. You remember me telling y'all about that passing lane? You know, and then people crowding me, and I got over. A man's a fool to try to get ahead. I'd stay as far back as I could. And give it time, it'll be my time. But whenever it is, you can count on one thing, the believer is going up. But I'm going to tell you something else. You're going up if you're saved. You're going up like a vapor, and by the time and God sees your soul, and your soul is going to heaven, and your soul, I'll tell you about that church I preached at, that they wanted me to be the pastor. They took me out to their house to eat dinner, and the main man said, what do you think about my soul sleep? I said, my soul sleep. He said, that ain't what I mean. He said, what do you think about when you sleep? We believe the soul is sleeping in the grave. There's no Bible on that. For to be absent with the body is to be present with the body. Paul said, I have a desire to go, but it's needful for you to stay a little longer, but there's going to be a time. And there's that upward pull. But I'm going to tell you something that you need to think about, my friend, if you don't know God's. Because there's a downward pull too. And when the angels of God escort Gene into heaven, they'll see your soul, brother. Get a robe, I believe. I mean, those were tribulation saints. But we're not going to, we shall be changed in a moment. I got to get my theology right. Whatever it is, you're going to get to heaven and you're going to be seen in a new body. The tribulation saints are going to be seen, their souls. I don't understand all that. And I'll tell you one thing, I do believe it. We're going to know each other in heaven. You shall be known even as you're known. We shall all be caught up together. What about the people that we don't see being caught up together? There's a downward pull. And just as sure as an angel, the Bible says Lazarus, the angels escorted him. Can you imagine that? You're on the death. Somebody said, I want to die so I can experience the resurrection. Well, maybe that's maybe a good idea. Just not today, Lord. Maybe tomorrow. But just as much as the angel in heaven escorted Lazarus into heaven, the demons of hell bound the rich man and put him in hell. Can you imagine the demons of hell, the demons that are here today to cool you down? See, look here. The difference is we want to go. There's no way the lost man wants to go now. If he knows what we know, he don't want to be pulled into everlasting darkness and chains and torment. All he's got to do is draw near to that altar. Draw near. Let's stand. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your attention. Father, you know every heart and life. There may be somebody that wants to identify with Paul about their service for him and giving their lives. Paul said, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. you can make that commitment today. I want to spend my life in the fight for God, serving Jesus Christ and others. And I want to commit my life, not be so selfish with my life, but give my life and offer my life on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There may be somebody that's unsaved, that's thought about it, that's evil, eternal torments of hell. It's not to be burned up like a dry leaf, as some people believe, but it's to be tortured and tormented forever and ever as they die today. Lord, let them trust you to not be drugged down into a devil's hell that was never meant for a human being by the evil angels. And when they can be escorted into glory as our soul longs and looks and feels the tug and the pull to be set free from the dock of this world and to set free into a new world. Have your way. Bless this invitation. Save the lost. May the believers commit themselves to you to make sure what they're fighting for is worth fighting for, and may it be the good fight of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. You come and pray whatever you need. Come and be saved. Be saved if you're in your homes or in the car watching this or listening to this message. Trust Christ as your Savior today. Give it to God. It ain't worth it, friends. It's not worth it to live without Jesus. All right, sing that verse. We'll trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.